He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition. It is the December 13th live edition of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson in the house, along with our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. Today is Fed Day, and the market is kind of chewing its fingernails until becomes public. It's got a mixed opening. The Dow is down 30. The Nasdaq's up 30. So we'll call it a draw, a split decision right now. The Nasdaq's at 14,563. The Dow is just a couple of hundred points away from its all-time high. I sent out another chart of that today. That's a significant development, because it could, be a major barrier once it hits that. We'll have to watch that going forward. The S&P is up just 3 points here today. The small caps are up 1.5%. No, 1.5 points. That's only 8 basis points. Crude oil is down 60 cents. We're under 70 to 69.21. Gold is under 2,000 again at 1997. And the 10-year, while it chews its fingernails, the bond traders waiting for Jerome Powell's announcement, which is expected to be pretty benign, the 10-year's at 4.17, and you've got Bitcoin at 41,757, up 300 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only registered investment advisory firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst.
It's Fed Day. It doesn't get any more exciting than this.
The last one of the year. Can we celebrate tomorrow? Can we go out and celebrate the fact that Jerome Powell, he could just be quiet, you know, until next year. Let's just let the holidays come and go. Let's not have another Grinch Stole Christmas episode like he created several years ago. Right now, the market is just basically twiddling its thumbs, waiting to hear. And we do get the press conference today after the Fed announcement.
Yeah, the most important is probably that dot plot. So we're, you know, kind of go back to your Atari 2600 since, we get Christmas coming up. It'll be, follow the bouncing dots right across the
we need
across
to make
the
a,
graph.
We need to make a computer game called Dot Plot, Brothers or something like that.
Right.
Follow the dot plot and shoot them, shoot at them, shoot at that one that's way out there on the frontier and all this.
Right.
Well, we had a decent day yesterday in the market as we close in on that all-time high. The Dow's just 225 points, something like that. What was the all-time high? 36,800. You know what? I mean, I'm sure you could make an argument, say, well, that's going to be the top of the market once we get back to that old high. That's why it's a significant number. It's a significant thing to watch. Is there enough momentum? Is the economy strong enough to push that Dow through those previous highs? You know, it was quite some time ago that we hit those highs, so that's going to be pretty formidable technical resistance. Okay, valuation is the other half of that equation, and of course, interest rates and the economy play a big part into that, whether or not we can push through and on to new highs. You know how many new highs I've seen in the Dow since I've been in the business? When I got in the business, the Dow was around 3,500. Now it's approaching 3,500, approaching 37,000. So anyways, we'll see.
Sounds like an upward, long-term upward trend.
Yeah, I should have just bought the Dow ETF and just sat on it, never moved an inch. You know,
you may have needed some Prozac and whatever else came out from those years during that time frame.
Yes.
Probably some Mylanta because, you know, there were certainly a few bumps in the road along the way.
I'm just saying that's something to be said for the Vanguard, you know, the Bogleheads of the world, John Bogle saying, you know what, you just buy the biggest index and you don't move, you sit in it. Well, that's what the last 24 years have done. What will the next 24 years do? That's another question. Will it continue that kind of growth? Well, we had a good day in the NASDAQ yesterday also, despite a spill in Oracle, which was down 12%. But you know what? Oracle's spill led to some gains in some of our other software stocks, which probably offset the Oracle spill. Oracle's not a big position at our firm. We own it in one portfolio, the dividend and growth portfolio. But the loss in Oracle, we had a big day with ServiceNow, which had a big day. Zscaler had a good day. CrowdStrike hit new highs yesterday.
Palo Alto Networks.
Oh, and HubSpot was probably the stock of the day yesterday. So I think those gains, they went up because Oracle went down. I guess the business is moving away from Oracle to these smaller companies, and that kind of offset it. We hit a new high for the year yesterday overall as a firm. And really finishing up the year quite strong here in 2024. Well, it will be 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock on the West Coast, when the earthquake hits, called Jerome Powell. We don't really, you got to expect something pretty mild. We've had some pretty benign CPI report yesterday. Today, the PPI was very benign. It seems like, but he's going to warn. There's no question about that. He says, we're not sure. He's going to say, we're not sure that inflation is under control yet.
He doesn't want us all to get too excited.
No, he doesn't want the market to blast off. You know, that's another thing they look at, the valuation of the market here. You know, we're approaching 19 times forward earnings on the S&P 500. That's been the top recently. You know, you get down to 16 and the market likes that. You get up to 19 and the market's not so excited about that forward PE ratio. The long-term average has been more in the 18 area. Although in recent years, because of the low interest rate environment, we saw it as high as 23 at one time. That was before the big correction in 2022. Well, we're expecting the Fed to hold steady for now. And here's what they're really going to be listening to. Cuts. When will the next rate cut? When will the first rate cut be?
Right.
That's what it's going to be all about.
Yep, and remembering, you know, in the dot plot where we're at currently, before the new one comes out later on today, the Fed had essentially two cuts built into the dot plot in 2024. So we'll see what my guess is. You won't get any more than two on the dot plot simply because if three pop up, well, then he's going to say that people are going to ask, oh, well, what softness do you see in the market, right, or in the economy? And vice versa, right? You take one off the table, and that's another issue there. So probably very similar, at least in terms of the number of cuts expected in 2024.
Well, you could get a few rate cuts before the November election. Don't forget, we never know. You know, there's always a lot of pressure. Everybody running for especially an incumbent, wants a rate cut leading into the election. The other thing they'll be listening to is how confident are you, Jerome Powell and Mr. Fedhead, that inflation is under control? Okay, so those are going to be the two things.
The PPI looked pretty flat.
The PPI flatlines after being down last month.
Yeah, that's right.
So how confident are you, Mr. Jerome Powell, that inflation is now under control? Not only that, I mean, we're seeing it all around the world, really, that inflation is in the threes now. after being double digits at one point in time. So that's going to be the big news-making event. That's the bad news. We'll get that at two. The good news is it's the last Fed meeting of the year. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You know what? Look, the last 2 years, the Fed has driven the market. More than that, the more last five, by keeping the interest rates as low as they were, that caused the boom in the market in 20 to 2021. That came to a halt in about March of 21. 2022 was a big correction year in the PE multiple, going from 23.5. It went to 15.5 at one point last year. We started this year at about 17, and now we're back up to about 19. We're a little rich. We're a little rich in PE multiple right now on the S&P 500. Well, when we come back, there's a lot of stories here today. A heck of a lot to cover. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the world got together at the COP28 Climate Summit in Dubai. Finally, they revised the wording of it, and they're calling it a historic deal to shift away from fossil fuels. You know, the question is, number one, this is net zero. That's the goal by 2050, net zero. 27 years down the road, absolutely no fossil fuels. Well, like we've said, you know, you've got to have a substitute for the fossil fuels when it comes to your military, your transportation of ships, your air travel, all those kinds of things. That was the kind of agreement. And then the other question is, you know, who's going to cheat? Who's going to abide by it? Is China going to go along with it? Is Russia going to go along with it? So, but you should, we should be watching this. The Danish Minister for Climate and Energy, Dan Jorgensen, says, "We're standing here in an oil country surrounded by oil countries, and we made the decision saying, let's move away from oil and gas." Well, I mean, they're talking about entirely. Okay, we talked a lot about, the debt. How sustainable is the debt? We just added another $314 billion in 1 month in November. The U.S. federal budget shortfall balloons to $314 billion just in November, Barry. That's... what is that? $10 billion a day? We're adding to the buffet, to the deficit. So that is just huge. Another additional 300. You know, if you annualize that.
That's like 16 Otanis a day, huh?
Yeah, if you annualize that, $315 billion, that's, what, another 3.6 per month, per year? Added to the federal deficit. Okay, I find this to be interesting. There's a lot of ETFs that close this time of year, and I would say for the most part they either perform poorly, or investors don't have a lot of interest in what they were selling. Right. The first one, there's two closed today that caught my eye. One was the V-Shares U.S. Leadership Diversity ETF, which, look, I mean, I'm all for diversity and I'm all for ESG and everything, but as an investor in the market, I'm all about earnings, how much those earnings are worth, and growth, okay? So I guess, you know, you could say, well, you know, let's cut out those companies that don't meet our diversity requirements. Well, you know what? This is the stock market. This is about investing in companies. A private investor wouldn't go out and buy, pick one donut shop or dry cleaners over another. It's going to be sales. It's going to be earnings. It's going to be growth. Those are the factors in the stock market.
Yeah, and the most important piece of ESG is the G, the governance.
Yeah.
Go back to Enron, right? That was a board that was set up not properly, and you know, somehow, you know, where the governance piece kind of got, you know, in terms of how to run a company, how to align, you know, board of directors or CEO's compensation with, you know, stockholders, right, has kind of morphed into something else. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, and the quant system that I came up with that combines, you know, value and momentum, which is a very unique combination for a quant system, does not include whatsoever diversity or ESG. Okay, the other one closing is the ESG carbon transition ETF. Okay, there's another. I looked at these things. They have less than $1 million in them, which that's probably the seed money that was put into them. It's been a very bad year for the solar and the wind stocks. Which is another, you know, it's another consideration to take into consideration moving to a global, you know, fossil fuel free world. It's not very efficient and it's very expensive. And then there were a couple others here. Wisdom Tree is closing down their international ESG fund. They're closing down their just their emerging markets ESG fund, and they're closing down their U.S. ESG fund. So, you know, it has just not been a theme that's attracted investment from a lot of you know, Wall Street investors. Now, here's another thing to consider. Microsoft says that AI, the growth in AI, is going to need gobs of, guess what, energy. In other words, a windmill is not going to power AI. You know what they're going to move towards? They're looking for regulatory approvals for nuclear power. The software giant foresees a massive need for electricity. And let's not forget the EV cars, which also gobble up electricity as it pushes deeper into supercomputing and AI. Microsoft says that nuclear power is seen as a way to avoid carbon emissions while providing electricity more consistently than renewables can.
Yeah, if you think Bitcoin mining was using a lot of power, I would imagine AI, you know, running a bunch of AI models probably creates some power drain.
Wow. Yes, yeah. Well, okay, I'm just a microcosm here of renewable energy because I do run my – I have a fairly large office, and I run a lot of electronics, obviously. I'm looking at my solar right now. My input into my solar batteries is zero right now because it's overcast.
I was about to say.
You get 3 or 4 days in a row of overcast and the battery is dead. It's drained. And I have to plug it in every sixth or seventh day and cheat, right, plugging it in. So now I bought an extra one. I have two of these large batteries. You know, I try to keep the two charged just from the sun. I try to be true to green energy, but now I have two of these huge, giant solar to run a little office, and it can't keep up. So can you imagine if I was running AI?
No, you're just working too hard.
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe it's the charts that eat up the all of the energy. So anyways, there is a company that I've watched. It's SMR, which makes small nuclear reactors. I don't know when they'll be available on Amazon, you know, when you can park one of those in your office or in your home and run your home on a small nuclear generator. But the stock hasn't done very well. It's at $3 per share. But that's the direction that Microsoft is looking for as they compute how much electricity is going to need it for AI. Here's the dog of the day, Pfizer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Down another 8% today. I think they need a new CEO. I think there's got to be a massive. This is a member of the Dow hitting a new 52-week low. The stock down 45% this year as they guide lower. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you haven't missed much in the market here so far today. The fireworks will begin at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when we get the Fed announcement, which should be we're standing still on, well, if you want a happy Christmas and a happy holidays, he'll cut by 0.25%. I don't see that happening, nor do I see 0.25% hike happening. It's what he says afterwards. How confident are you that we've got inflation under control, number one? Number two, when do you foresee the first rate cut, which I don't think he foresees one right now, to be honest with you.
And if he does, I don't think he's going to – I doubt he tells us today.
No. He's going to just say it's too early to even talk about that.
Yeah, and the market, just so you know, market's pricing in 98.2% chance of a stay where we are, and then there's 1.8% out there on the 25 basis point hike out there. My guess is those folks are doing some hedging. They probably don't think that's going to happen.
No, you never know. Now, okay, a stock that's really kind of turned sideways here, big time, is having some issues. Tesla. I'm not so sure about Tesla right now at the current valuation.
And they
got to recall 2 million vehicles to address autopilot issues. Now, I don't know what it's like to change a tire on a Tesla. I do know what it's like to try to change a tire on an electric, all-electric SUV.
Well, we had a friend who had a flat tire in a Tesla, and that's when I figured out there's no spare tire.
No
one. Oh. Had to have a flatbed tow truck came, picked it up, and took it wherever. And you know, I think they had a tire. Other problem is getting a tire. And I don't think they got it back for 2 or 3 days. And always a little flat tire.
I've come to the conclusion I'm going to just carry a pump that I can. I have a couple of those I can plug in. To the car if I'm out on the road and fill the tire right, and then go like heck to get somewhere safe, because changing that tire is just, it's a beast. Elon Musk's SpaceX value said to be closer to $180 billion. And he's going to go public.
Midas touch over there, I guess, except for X.
I wrote an article many years ago on Seeking Alpha that said, I'm betting on Elon. And at that time, he just had he had two companies. He had Solar City, had Tesla.
City, his brother would helped him with that one, right? Or he helped his brother with that
something? And then they combined. Solar City was losing a lot of money, and he combined it with Tesla just to kind of bury it, you know. And so, anyways, Alphabet gains as J.P. Morgan lists as top pick for 2024. Yeah, you know what? I'm not on board with that. I don't think you're going to see the mega caps repeat what they did last year. Google was one of those. Alphabet was one of those.
Yeah, certainly not the outperformance. I mean, you know, relative performance off the chart compared to everything else in the index.
Well, Google last year was up. Google was up, it's up 50% this year, 2023, 50%, okay? Now, I show about 65% upside potential. I'm telling you, that five-year valuation is really critical. I mean, you can go by momentum, you can go by charts, but I want to know the valuation also. I like 75 to 80% or more. So I'm sitting here with my valuation on Google right now with 65%. So I have it, you know, as a hold here. I'm not going to sell my Alphabet. I'm not going to add to my Alphabet. I don't think it's a good buy at this level. And I'm going to protect my profits in Alphabet. That's where I sit on that issue right now. This is J.P. Morgan calling Google one of their top picks. You know, is that as creative as you can get? Anyways, Apple now requires a judge's nod to provide push notification data. Okay, here's something else to keep you awake at night, okay? Foreign operators are surveilling smartphone users through their app's push notifications, okay? We use push notifications. They go through Google and Apple servers when we make a buy or sell in our portfolios to our subscribers. And Apple is not going to give up. This has gone to court many times about them wanting the FBI wanting the data on someone's phone, and you're going to have a court order in order for them to hand over the push notifications. But to think that they're watching our push notifications, well, they're watching a whole lot more than that.
I would imagine.
Let alone just your push notifications. Microsoft gains its Truist begins. They begin with a buy rating. And I'm saying, where have you been, Truist? Let's see how much Microsoft is up this year. I do not see a repeat performance from Microsoft, which was up 56% this year. 56%. Remember, the Dow's up about 9%. Microsoft's up 56%. I show Microsoft right now with 56% upside potential if you were to put new money in it today. That's a critical piece of the decision process, okay? It's an absolute critical piece of the decision process. There's a term called risk to reward. And, I would be more in a protective mode of my profits, unless you're one of these guys that's going to hold this thing till take it to the grave, pass it to the kids, that kind of thing. But Microsoft, is very expensive at this level. I'm just saying new money, and yet you got Truist starting it here. They're starting it here with a buy rating. Okay, that's why I don't have Truist investment managers managing my money. Chipotle makes a venture capital investment in next generation farming. Greenfield Robotics. Well, I'm a farmer. I have a little farm in my backyard that I tend to daily.
With our weather.
You do too.
I can't even get rid of the tomatoes right now.
I still have tomatoes.
I had to cover them up last night.
And the romaine lettuce is making beautiful Caesar salad still, at night. And my wife loves the parsley to make her tabbouleh and everything. But they're looking at robotics to make regenerative farming more efficient and this and that. But the reason I bring this up is McDonald's had gold with Chipotle, and they sold it many years ago. Now they're starting a new little thing McDonald's is called Cosmix. Have you read about this?
Yeah, I saw a headline on it, and was going to go back and read it, but it didn't. The sign looks similar to McDonald's, so it looks like they're not going too far on the concept, but I'd like to know more about it.
Well, okay. The menu includes a spicy queso sandwich, a creamy avocado tomatillo sandwich, which sounds good, and the classic sausage McMuffin with eggs. So they think that they're going to start another little friend. I will say this. I like the current CEO of McDonald's. He's thinking out. I don't think the previous CEOs, they kept.
Well, they went through a few of them for. I know. One of them actually passed away. I think one got in trouble, and then they went. They went through a hand. I couldn't keep up with the number of.
Well, they kept doing the same old thing. Eventually the same old thing. You have to be inventing all the time and creating. And dreaming up new things and whatnot. Otherwise, you're just stagnant. You're stale. You're not bringing in the McRib. Absolutely.
Right?
You're not bringing in new customers and whatnot. So I like the idea, but they really blew it. Chipotle is one of the biggest winners of all time in the market. And, it was already set. They already had their investment in it. And for whatever reason, they decided to sell their investment in Chipotle. Okay, Adobe will report tonight. That's a pretty big one. This is kind of the last one of earnings season here. It definitely is one of the big players in tech, obviously.
One we own, right?
A disruptor many years ago to many industries. Adobe has had a whale of a year. It's up 88% this year. You see the theme, the pattern here? Large tech has led the way in 2023. What is 2024 going to bring? What impact will the election in November of 2024 bring upon the markets also? A lot to take into account right now, but you know what? For now, I focus on one day at a time, one stock at a time. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, it's pretty easy to cipher out here the direction, the ones that are doing well today in the market in this environment. Well, we're waiting for the Fed. People are repositioning right now. There's rebalancing taking place. There's window dressing taking place. There's positioning taking place, as we get ready to turn the corner. Here's what one of the scenarios I see, Barry, people are going to be very reluctant to sell their big winners in December, right? Does that make sense? They don't want to incur the big cap.
Right.
Now,
you don't want to take that cap gain unless you've got some losses from earlier in the year that you're kind of offset from. But if you're going to do it, right? Let's say
we're going to wait till next year.
Do it. First trading day of January, because then you've got over a year in which to pay your capital gains tax.
I'm going to be watching the big tech winners real closely in the first week of January. There could be some heavy duty. Selling, obviously in an IRA it doesn't make any difference, but I just think that you're not going to see much pressure on these big tech stocks until early next year, which is not that far away, okay? 2.5 weeks. So I'm just saying, I'm a guy that watches the market every day. People that are working and have a career and there's a lot of things that you've got to take into account. And, usually you have the January effect where you have a lot of buying of the beaten down stuff. That's what's going to be sold here this December is the beaten down stuff, the Pfizers of the world. And then, turn the page on a new year and you'll see some buying. Because why are they selling? Tax loss. They're harvesting. Tax losses. I've done the same thing in the portfolio I run for myself.
Right. Two ways there. You sell, and then if it's a stock you like, let's just say you had it at a loss, you sell it, stock you like, you buy it back, after 30 days, and you're able to take that loss. And then also, if you're offsetting some gains against current year losses, you can, sell it towards the end of the year and then just buy it right back, right? Because you didn't. If you have a gain, you can buy it as soon as you want. And so then you'll sell it towards the end of December and buy it right back in January, and that's a piece of that January effect.
Yes.
Where you have basically artificial is not the right word, but you got additional demand at the beginning of the year.
So here's what I'm seeing today. The stock of the week so far for me is Broadcom. Look at that thing. What a monster that. What a beast that has turned into after their earnings report. I think it was on Monday. It's up another 1.6% today on 3 times normal volume. Luckily enough, it's one of our chosen ones. It's one of the 18 that we own in the Premier Growth, and it's in the dividend in growth because it's a dividend payer. It pays a 1.9% dividend yield. It's up again today. I'm going to call it the stock of the week so far. Lilly's having a pretty good day. I am hearing that folks that want to get on the drug and trying to get insurance to cover it, that's still kind of uncharted territory. For the most part, the insurers are turning it down because they're getting so many requests. Lilly's up 1.4%. Just look. Okay, here's my reason I don't like ETFs. You buy a pharmaceutical ETF, a drug ETF, a big chunk of it's going to be Pfizer and a big chunk of it's going to be Lilly. I don't want any Pfizer at this point in time, and I haven't wanted any Pfizer for a long time. Why would I buy an ETF that's 10% Pfizer? That just makes no sense. I would rather focus on the good ones. Which at this point in time, Eli Lilly, obviously, and the Novo Nordisk, and a few others out there that have some promising things. But I like the action in Lilly today. And then I like the action in NVIDIA. NVIDIA's up to 1.4%. At some point, too, it becomes a game of chicken in January. How long are you going to hold on to these big winners? How high can they go before you start having people profit-taking? You see profit-taking in these stocks, which I think you're going to see the first few weeks of January. I think you could see some pressure on big tech with big gains of people that want to rebalance. December's not the time to rebalance because you're going to get stuck, unless you're in an IRA, you're going to get stuck with a big capital gain on a stock that was up 80%. So far this year.
And then you also might be rebalancing at the same time, big institutions are, and which are also selling some of those winners that you might be selling as well. So
I think logic would also tell me that the market has totally favored the high PE growth stocks this year. It has broadened out. I have 606 B-plus or better ranked stocks in my app today. That, we were down to 100 at one point in time. The market was so narrow. The breadth was so narrow. It's broadened out. And it would seem that the natural rotation would be into lower PE types of stocks, which you're going to find in healthcare, the drug industry. There's not a lot of low PE areas of the market right now, but there are. I mean, I'm just saying lower PE stocks too, rather than just sectors. So I continue to see here's another one that I'm noticing here today, how much it's down. I'm just going to look this up because this is kind of the poster child of the solar industry. This is the tech stock of the solar industry, Enphase. It's down 62% right now.
Wow.
For the year, as I look at my battery, which is hooked up to 4 massive solar panels on my rooftop here, I'm getting zero input on my battery right now, Barry. Zero input because we've got a little bit of overcast. Right? This is a huge issue. It's a huge issue. You would have to have many, many batteries storing up, the sun power, and then you go a couple weeks without sun, you're dead. Well, anyways, I'm just letting you know my little microcosm, my experience with EVs and solar energy and all this kind of stuff. I see a need for fossil fuel. To get out to the banks fishing takes a couple hundred gallons of gas to get out there and back. take a long time to sail out there and sail back. Anyways, get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, 2 free weeks. Make an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.